Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. 7:32 Central Time. It's time to check in with our special guest this morning. Dr. Maurice Boyer, the music director for the American Contrarai, is joining us in studio this morning. Dr. Boyer, welcome back to Worldwide KFUO and His Time.
Thanks very much, Andy. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here. And talking about the American Contrarai and Bach at the SEM. Tell us a little bit about your background first before we get into Bach at the SEM.
Sure. Well, I was born in the States, but then spent my childhood in France, where my parents taught music at a seminary, so right above the Mediterranean, south of France. They had a touring choir, so right off the bat in my life, presence on a seminary campus, praising God through music. My parents were very much involved in ecumenical work throughout French-speaking France, Europe, rather. And then after that, music studies in the States, conservatory in Princeton, and then some time at the seminary just down the street in Princeton, and then a doctorate in Maryland. So mostly on the East Coast before I came out here, involved in a lot of Bach all around during that whole time, whether singing or conducting. And then came out to Concordia back in 07, been working out there. I work with a number of groups in the Chicago area. I have a professional group, actually, that focuses mainly on Bach also, and then also a lot of other repertoire, mainly 20th century apart from that.
So. Now, when you say you came out to Concordia, when you talk to Lutherans, when you say Concordia, that could be a whole host of things.
You're indeed right. I need to clarify. I came out to Concordia University Chicago, out in the former Concordia RF, as some people used to call it, in River Forest.
Which is my alma mater.
Okay.
I graduated from Concordia River Forest and Concordia Chicago, so it's a long story. So Concordia River Forest. So tell us about your work there.
Sure.
What is your work at Concordia Chicago?
Sure. Well, at Concordia there in Chicago, out in River Forest, we do, my focus is actually the chamber orchestra there, which I was hired to sort of build up. I work with a women's choir there as well. It's a delight. And I also teach ear training, all levels of ear training. Everyone's favorite class. Various other things as needed in the department, whether it's conducting or singer's diction and various other things. But my main load are the first three that I mentioned.
Wonderful. And so how did you get connected with the American Contrarai and Bach at the SEM?
Sure. Well, to be honest, I just all of a sudden received an invitation to conduct here last February. I mean, the invitation came about, I guess, a year and a half ago, and I was invited to come conduct here last February and had a great time with everyone out here, just a great rapport. And then the recommendation was made by the committee that that things should be pursued with me for future involvement with the organization, and here I am.
So. Now, for folks here in the St. Louis area, many are probably familiar with Bach at the SEM. But for those who don't know about the American Contrarai and Bach at the SEM, can you give us a little bit of history? I know you've only been with them for a little while, tell us what you know.
It's true. My involvement with the organization is very young still, obviously, and so I'm still getting to know the organization, getting to know its history and everything. I know that the beginnings of this date back to the 60s with Bob Baricht and his wife Joan, and various other people were involved in. Dave Berger has been involved for a long time. Also the Beckers, Gerald and Wanda. Many other people have been involved. Kathy Lawton Brown has been involved also for quite some time. Everyone knows her probably from one of the other radio stations around here. And the focus was Bach, but various other composers, Schütz, and I know that they also performed Mendelssohn and Buxtehude and various other people. Then the program, I know, went into hiatus for a little while and then started up again in the 90s and went very strong for a long time. Unfortunately, I never got the pleasure of meeting Dr. Baricht, but I've heard so many wonderful things about him as a human being, as a... person devoted to the music of Bach for sure, but devoted to the proclamation of the gospel. There's actually a quote from him that I was very touched by, and I'll just go ahead and share it right now. Many people probably already have heard this, but these are his own words. This is Bob Berecht. He said, "I've learned from teaching and praying the church's liturgy that doxology and gospel proclamation are the purpose of my life." And I find that just very, very stirring. And they're words that resonate completely with me, and also connect me very much with my background. My parents' life was devoted to exactly the same thing. That's exactly almost exactly the words they've used to describe their work.
The proclamation of the gospel with through sacred music.
Through sacred music, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of sacred music, another Bach in the SEM is coming up. The American Contrai will be presenting in the very near future, just a few days away, correct?
That's right, yes. This Sunday at 3 p.m., our first concert of the 2014-15 concert series will be launched. And for this program, for which I'm very excited, we begin and end with praise to God, and even in the middle we will sing the very familiar Praise to the Lord the Almighty with a verse by Dissler. So we begin and end with praise, two choruses, one from Cantata 137 and the opening chorus also from Cantata 69 will close this. And I just want to say a brief word about those two pieces. 69 was composed in for Trinity 12, so the 12th Sunday of Trinity in 1723. So that would have been Bach's first year in Leipzig when he was really composing furiously, different cantata every week. And then 2 years later came 137 for the same Sunday. The gospel reading for that Sunday is the very stirring, moving, touching, astonishing, actually, story of Jesus healing the deaf-mute man, or some people would say the man with a speech impediment. One doesn't really know what that meant. In any case, what's so beautiful about the story, to me anyway, is just Jesus dealing with an outsider, a foreigner. By being so close to him, he probably would have been considered unclean by his fellow non-Gentiles, shall we say? But he's not afraid of that. He goes right to this person and actually physically touches him. He puts his fingers in his ears and spit on his tongue, that is the man's tongue, to heal him. So it's a beautiful story of generosity and of healing. And the neat thing is that there is this eruption of praise that is so embodied in these two choruses that is astonishing. And one further point about this is that Trinity 12, it's sort of halfway in the middle, within the Trinity season, and it's astonishing that Bach goes ahead and uses a huge orchestra for it. This is a non-feast day. He goes all out for this. So it's as if when one praises God for his generosity, one pulls out all the stops. So,
and we have some selections to listen to this morning.
So perhaps we could listen to a little bit of the opening of Chorus 137, which is a chorale movement. And so you'll hear the very familiar chorale sung by the sopranos on top of some polyphonic voices.
Very good.
Oh,
We're talking with Dr. Maurice Boyer, director of the American Contrary. And Dr. Boyer, tell us a little bit more about this piece in the program.
Sure. So that was the opening chorus of 137, and you probably heard the very famous chorale tune over the instrumental and vocal flourishes underneath. The other piece is the closing piece of the concert, which would have come a couple of years earlier for the same Sunday. So maybe we'll listen to a little bit of this jubilant chorus right now.
We're talking with Dr. Maurice Boyer, music director for the American Contrary and Bach at the Sem. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue the conversation about the upcoming Bach at the Sem this weekend on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, October 15th, 2014. Today's day sponsor is Reverend Dr. Scott Murray. Today is the anniversary of the marriage of Reverend Dr. Scott Murray and his wife, Mary Ann Murray. Proverbs says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Dr. Murray thinks this is true, especially of his beloved wife, Mary Ann Murray. Once again, we say thank you to Reverend Dr. Scott Murray of Houston, Texas, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work. And you see Christ.
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are talking with Dr. Maurice Boyer, the music director for the American Contrary, and Bach at the Sem coming up this weekend. For those who are available this weekend, can you give us some of the details with the time and location of the event?
Sure, yes. So the performance is at 3 p.m. On the seminary campus in the chapel. Of St. Titus and St. Timothy at 3 p.m. And the concert is free of charge. So please come. It should be a wonderful afternoon of praise to God and just of jubilation, really, rejoicing together.
Wonderful.
God's mercy.
The 19th, that's Sunday, correct?
That's right. This coming Sunday, the 19th.
Very good. Very good. Well, we have some more selections to enjoy this morning. What can you tell us about the next piece?
Well, before we hear the excerpts here, I just want to say a couple of words about the other cantata that will precede the one we will be hearing. This is from cantata 33, which would have been written for Trinity 13, so the Sunday after the ones that we've just heard, 1724. This is the title of this is "Alone to You, Lord Jesus Christ," and so it's a cantata of devotion to the Christ. Again, sort of in some ways giving a context for the praise of the outer movements, so that at the center of everything is Christ. So.
Very good.
And then after that, after the hymn, will be a Pentecost cantata. And the cantata is Wer mich liebet, which is cantata 74. So the words from the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and the Father will dwell with us, and we will make our dwelling with you. So it's a wonderful, wonderful cantata that celebrates the love of Christ and the peace he brings in his absence. Actually, how does one deal with the absence of the physical Christ here? And that is through the gift of his Spirit, obviously, who brings him his presence to us at all times. This cantata is intriguing in that there is actually no mention of the Holy Spirit in it. If you come to the cantata, you'll get to read my notes, which give a little bit more substance to my thought about this. And basically, the idea, I think, is that the Holy Spirit is ever the undercurrent throughout. This cantata is from 1725, and perhaps we could just have a little excerpt from the opening chorus.
Sure.
It's a rather stately chorus, in some ways just like a royal procession, you might say. And then we'll go to another excerpt after that.
We're talking with Dr. Maurice Boyer, the director of the American Cantorei and Bach at the SEM, and I'm enjoying music. I always love these segments when we get to when we get to enjoy great music here on the program. And so the Bach at the SEM coming up this weekend, and you're taking us through it takes us through the season of Pentecost. It sounds like several of the pieces,
right? So what I'm trying to cover is. Easter through Pentecost through Trinity, not necessarily in that order, as it probably should be, but all kind of meshing together and providing a context, especially just showing always that the Christ is at the center of everything. There's one other aria that I'd like to mention. This is also from Cantata 74. This is one of the most startling evocations that I know of the Christ's harrowing of hell, his going down into the depths of hell and breaking the bonds of death and the devil and sin. And it's just it's astonishing to hear this hero of Judah going down there and ripping everything apart. and the title of this aria is actually Nichts kann mich erretten, so nothing can deliver me from hell's shackles, but, O Jesus, your blood, your passion, your dying are mine to inherit. I laugh at hell's rage, which is, it's a great, great text, very, very powerful in its evocation. One can actually even hear the rattling of the chains, and the violin could very well be a musical evocation of the of Christ's waging war at the devil. So let's listen to this.
We're talking with Dr. Maurice Boyer, director of the American Contrarie, about the upcoming Bach at the Sem this weekend and all the great music that one can enjoy there. But it's not just music. It's not just any kind of music. It's music that, it's sacred music, music that proclaims the good news of Jesus, that, mm-hmm. that proclaims God's word.
Completely, yes. And I'd just like to share, so it's of course the music of J.S. Bach, whose life was obviously utterly dedicated to the church and to God and to Christ. And there's just a little quote I'd like to bring to the listeners right now from Bach himself, and it just shows exactly what I mentioned. So these are his words, where there is devotional music, God with his grace is always present. And that sort of encapsulates everything when it comes to this music.
Well, very good. Well, tell us about the rest of the season. We've talked a lot about Trinity, from Easter and Trinity and Pentecost, and that's the nice thing about music is you can cover the whole church year, even compress it into, right. 2 or 3 hours in one afternoon if you want to. But tell us about the rest of the season of Bach at the Sem.
Okay. Well, we have 3 more concerts after this October concert. We have one in December, December 14th, and this is an Advent program. So there'll be 2 cantatas that were very specifically written for the first Sunday of Advent. There was not to be any instrumental music during Advent in Bach's time after the first Sunday of Advent. After that, it was
a penitential season,
essentially. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. So a period of reflection until Christmas. And then after that, the next concert is in March. And that is March 15th, and that program happens right in the middle of Lent. And although in Bach's time, again, there would not have been any instrumental music, so no concerted music during Lent, I've chosen pieces from various other points in the church year that sort of have a Lenten flavor, if you will, a more reflective and penitential thrust to them. And the reason I've chosen the pieces on this program is that there are movements from each of those pieces that Bach later uses in the later 1730s to compose his Mass in G minor. So if anyone comes to both the March program and the May program, which is May 17th, they'll get to see Bach parodying himself. And by parodying, I don't mean a joke. I mean him actually using material that he's used in other places and refashioning it for this new context. Mm-hmm. And what I like to say about that is that it reveals Bach thinking through theology, thinking through his faith. So basically what you have is the Mass text as backlit in some ways by these other texts. So that both layers are operating at the same time and mutually inform one another. So they're not lesser pieces. They're just as strong and maybe in some ways richer than the others. So we end with the Mass in G minor and the Easter Oratorio for our final concert. So I certainly hope that people will join us for all of these concerts. I certainly look forward to sharing all these wonderful pieces with everyone.
Well, during the seasons, the penitential seasons, as we mentioned earlier, Advent and Lent, I was just thinking, if you were a musician in those during Bach's time, a musician and anything other than a singer. You really were unemployed during those seasons. You didn't have much to do, did you? Well, give us a quick recap then of the events, the event this weekend. It's coming up on Sunday, is that correct?
That's right. The concert is this Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. In the chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus. I got the names backward earlier. So on the seminary campus, it's free of charge, and we hope to see many people there.
Wonderful. Bach at the Sem this Sunday, 3 p.m., Chapel of St. Timothy and St. Titus at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Dr. Boyer, it has been just great talking with you. I've enjoyed the music, and I pray that all goes well this weekend and everyone enjoys all the great music at Bach at the Sem. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Many thanks, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Hope you can stick around for that as we study with Pastor McPeak from Faith Lutheran in Lafayette, Louisiana. More His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.